everything you say to me, I could say to you. But it doesn't matter. You are what you choose to make of yourself. And you are merely an animal. I eat animals. As if responding to your taunt, your stomach starts to growl. The crow narrows its eyes and starts an erratic charge, swinging its flaming wings wildly. With little effort, you grab the crushed pillar and bring it around to the crow's face. And its desperate parry proves useless as the pillar's stone fails to yield to the crow's flames. The club snaps across the beast's face and it crumples in a pile of feathers. Feeling strangely detached, you grab the crow's horn and twist it until you hear a snap. You feel the urge to consume overwhelm you, and you can feel yourself hunching over to devour the beast, but almost as if it were happening to someone else. Your body begins to feast as your mind steps back into a dream. Your mind is fragmentary and disconnected. You see a vast ocean and the Bone Lord beneath it. You see many bird-like creatures bearing warriors in gold. You see the skeletal man pulling one of the birds back from the death. Back from death? Urgh! And it also overlooked by three eyes. You come onto the central platform amidst a pile of feathers. On standing, your unfamiliarity with your new form is quickly overcome. Life since awakening has been a non-stop change for you, and you feel that this may just be the next step. Additionally, you feel your body has much more energy than it once did. You may upgrade twice. You feel that now already have the ability to alter your shape crudely enough to fit small gaps or flatten yourself against a surface. But you feel with the more energy you could exert finer control over it and look like a specific creature such as a human or elf. You could also grow additional mouths, not limited to eating only one creature at a time, or you could spit acid, or hone your senses, or many other things within reason. You choose to exert final control over your shapeshifting and gain an acidic spit weapon. After focusing, you approach the boulder blocked entry archway you came through. The entire archway looks much smaller than you'd remember it. Using your new morphic qualities, you manage to slip through the gap between the boulder and the archway. The hallway seems much smaller than it was on the way in, too. You have to hunch over more than usual, and you still scrape your horns on the ceiling from time to time. You return to the corridor you left Yvette in, and after a moment of fleeing, after feeling along the wall, you manage to find the secret door again. For a moment you'd feared you'd return to find Yvette missing or something else in her place, but she is right where you left her. Something seems to be dozing uncomfortably. She seems to be dozing uncomfortably on the stone floor. Yvette stirs a little when you walk in.
Hey,
she says quietly, still half asleep.
You got bigger.
She half smiles and stretches.
That sounded bad. Not that you'd know, I guess.
She yawns and pats the floor in the corner.
Come here, get comfortable.
You're not sure that what sounded bad about that, but you do like the idea of sleeping next to her. You lean up against the corner of the room and Yvette slumps over your leg and promptly falls back asleep. For the first time in centuries, you smile as you drift off to sleep as well. Your eyes open urgently. There was something important, something you were doing just moments ago. But the memories you were searching for are suddenly a haze. You look up and see Yvette sitting cross-legged on the floor, breathing slowly, her eyes closed. She opens one eye and looks at you.
Hey, looks like you slept well. Give me another minute, I'm almost done.
Looks like she's about ready to start the journey to the surface. What do you do? As she does whatever she is doing, you inspect the sword again. It clearly shows the image of a horned bird on the handle, but as you inspect closely, you can find no evidence of a third eye or tentacles on its face.
It does, however, remind you of the birds you saw in the dream, the ones ridden by gold men. The sword has gold, too, in the central disc. Perhaps, before it was cursed, this was a weapon wielded by one of them? But then why did you dream of them, if they have nothing to do with you? Surely there is some relevance. Just to be sure, you gingerly touch the sword with the tip of your tentacle and still feel the quick burning sensation. Well, there goes your hope that the curse went away since the last time you tried. Yvette exhales audibly and slaps her hands on her legs.
Okay, all ready to go.
What were you doing?
You ask.
Kinda hard to explain,
she says.
After I get some rest, I can just sort of sit and reflect on what I think my needs for the day will be, and how the magic of the natural world could help me meet them. And then I get inspired with how to make it all happen. Afterwards, I can cast some spells and we'll have to deal with whatever I was thinking about. But then after I do, it's like, oh, I have the spell in my head, and then I have to take it out of my head and put it in the real world to make it happen. And I don't have the head and that spell in my head anymore. And I have to get some rest, and I said,
and reflect again.
But then the best news is, every once in a while it feels like I get a little better at it, and I think I get more spells or one for the day, and the one was into something I could do that.
She stops her rapid gesticulation, inhales, and looks up at you.
I'm rambling again, aren't I?
No, you reply. This is interesting. I also can do some new things today that I couldn't yesterday.
That's terrifying,
she responds, then laughs.
You're a lot bigger today. I guess you found something to eat, or someone.
I came across a flying creature, not too dissimilar from myself, in a room with a throne and broken crown. It tried to eat me while going on about a bone lord and old gods. Instead, it ended up being my meal as I outsmarted it in battle. I'm sure there's some history back in that room, but I'm not very fond of riddles and mysteries. On a related note, I've also regained some malleability I did not know I had. You have some shape-shifting abilities of your own, didn't you say? Perhaps we can compare our ways. You have a hard time reading her expression for a moment. Then she smiles and replies,
sure, I just focus on animal I want to be, and magic kind of takes over and I change. I've only been able to do it once a day so far, but maybe you're different. Why don't you give it a shot?
You nod and start to think about animals. Something that would be useful. Something that lives in a desert. Something that flies. A vulture comes to mind and you start to focus on its shape. You start to forcefully compress your massive bulk, and you can feel your normally rigid bones soften as you force them into a new shape. You sculpt yourself as best you can and paint your color-changing hide to that of a vulture's colors. After a few seconds, you think you're done.
Ha!
Yvette laughs.
A vulture, I can do that one too. Kind of suits you. I hope you can do it more than once.
I'm pretty sure I can, you say, your voice coming out more raspy than usual. It takes you a little effort to figure out how your legs and wings work, but after a bit of twitching, you manage to spread and flap your wings.
You utterly fail to lift off the ground. You can still feel your feet planted firmly to the stone floor, even without the stickiness.
I don't think I can fly, you say.
Yvette makes a puzzled noise and walks over to you. She tries to pick you up, but you fail to budge.
Huh,
she says.
You're really heavy.
She scratches her head and steps back.
I guess it's not a magical transformation. You're just rearranging your body. But if you're that much smaller and you weigh the same as you, you're way too dense to fly. Maybe it would work if you got bigger.
She looks around the small room.
There's probably not enough room in here for that, though.
She shrugs.
This is pretty cool, though. Let's try some other stuff.
The two of you spend almost an hour experimenting and learning the limits of your new ability. Well, you can make new mouths that don't lead anywhere. You can make new eyes, but you can't see out of them unless you get rid of your old ones. You have no trouble creating a hollow space inside yourself to carry all the gold discs and stones, but they make it hard to transform into smaller things. After some finagangling, you manage to contain all of them inside yourself in a way that doesn't make any noise when you walk. You start to get the hang of it and loosen up, physically and mentally. You try to line yourself in the discs just under your skin as a sort of makeshift armor, but they keep falling out of the little hollow pockets you make for them when you stop thinking about them. Yvette laughs.
Oh man, every time someone hits you, a gold pops out. You're a bandit's dream to fight, at least until they get eaten.
You both laugh at the image. Your course chortle against Yvette's soft giggle. A sudden idea strikes you and you force yourself into a humanoid shape. You shift your skin tones to mostly mottled red and cream tones with some darker browns and shape yourself as an identical copy of Yvette. You grin at her as she tries to scowl but winds up smiling anyway. She begins,
I had a dream like this once before.
Before you can ask her what she means, she pinches your nose.
I don't like this now, she says.
She says,
too round.
What do you mean?
What do you mean?
You reply, your voice shooting up from a deep pitch to match Yvette's as you stretch your vocal cords.
It looks just like yours. I like it.
She smiles and looks away.
Thanks,
she says after a pause. She keeps her gaze averted, staring off into the deep, smile lingering on her lips as a silence falls between you. You look yourself up and down and suddenly feel a little awkward.
I don't think I like looking like a woman. What kind of man do you think I should look like?
Yvette stares off into space somewhere and down to your right for a moment. She sighs and looks up at you.
A strong, scary one,
she replies. You shift your form again, thinking back to the barbarian from earlier. Yvette nods.
That'll work.
You begin to think it might be a bad idea to base your appearance on the barbarian from earlier in case you encounter anyone he knew. But you are much taller and wider than he was, and you are sure you couldn't have gotten the details of his face exactly right. You've only an impression of the face you're trying to copy. You could only copy Yvette exactly because you were looking directly at her when you transformed.
Actually,
Yvette begins,
you could probably use something that looks like armor, and your hips are a little wide. Maybe some kind of weapon, too?
Could you make
could you make a sword or something?
I could, but it could be made of flesh and bone and would be fairly brittle from being overextended. Perhaps some sort of weapon that attaches to my arm.
The two of you spend a few more minutes tweaking your appearance until you find one that is suitable and easy to hold over a long period. Giving the room a quick once over to make sure you collected all of the coins and stones and leaving the cursed sword behind, the two of you leave and shut the secret door behind you. You don't know the specific way out, but you know which direction the elf and human came from earlier, and you know Yvette had in that direction. You know it. You and Yvette head in that direction.
Oh, it's nice and huge wet here for Jaden Gwyn, for weird for a desert, I know, but Mother Oasis,
But Mother Oasis keeps it cool for us. There's a lot of trees and brushes and vines and plants and animals, and it's always nice and misty in there. There are these four rivers that go through town and down underground. I'm trying to follow a river upstream to find my home again when I run into you. But I think I could turn around somewhere. That might have been one of those natural rivers or something, because I swear it was hiking and hiding for days. Anyway, Mother Osiris is sort of like the queen, I guess. She makes sure everything is orderly, and she has these sort of priesty nutty things tied up to the city and makes sure everyone behaves. I mean, as much as you can expect a city full of fae to behave anyway, it gets pretty crazy sometimes anyway.
She goes on for a bit, and you begin to hear the sounds of wind through the tunnels up ahead. You pass several doors along the side and can hear some small movements deep within some of them, but you can clearly tell the shortest path back to the surface. You walk for a while before through the corridors and up the staircases, listening to Yvette's pleasant rambling, until you finally see a stairway leading up into the daylight. As the two of you step out into the open air, you see the sky for the first time you remember. The sun shimmering in orange, casting a fading light on the surrounding cloudless sky. On the opposite end of the horizon, stars are starting to appear into the indigo haze. Before you, dead ahead, you can see a grey and white cloud perched on the sandy dunes, the only indication of moisture visible in any direction. Yvette points to it.
Wow, I didn't realize we were that far away,
she says.
Your homeland is beyond that cloud, you ask.
No, no, my homeland is that cloud,
she responds.
End part one.